Well, coming up in this episode, we're going to dive into the unexpected passing of Lisa Marie Presley at age 54, and more so the ensuing legal dispute that happened as Priscilla contested her daughter's estate plan. So in the middle of all this grief and this obviously legendary legacy, we're going to talk about some of these complexities of this case and the questions that arose from those last wishes. That's all coming up.
This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable with Ted Alatsis of Alatsis Law Firm. Our mission at Alatsis Law Firm is to assist you with the three pillars of protection: preserving your assets, providing you help, and protecting your future.
Welcome in. Glad to have you on New York's Asset Protection Roundtable. I am Ben George. He's Ted Alatsis, as always. Ted, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Ben. Spring is almost upon us.
Yep, Yankees will be taking the mound pretty soon, getting after it, and look to have another good season, hopefully. They got the roster, got to put it together, though, right?
Fingers crossed. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm excited about this topic today. This is kind of out of the ordinary for what we typically cover. We usually cover, you know, the specific questions and ideas and issues that arise with what you do as an estate planner. And I'm kind of curious, do you keep up at all, or do you read the news? Because we see from time to time these celebrities will either not have a will or have a contested will, and it just becomes this huge issue because there's a lot of money at stake.
Sure, absolutely. Pay attention to, you know, what's going on in the public sphere, and there's been a lot of recent cases that have involved celebrities and estate planning complications and failure to properly plan. I think Prince had an issue. Michael Jackson had recently had a trust that was not funded. So there are lots of things going out there that, you know, are great examples of what can go wrong if you don't do it right, and hopefully a lesson for everyone out there.
Yeah, and that's the point of this too, is you know, we're not all going to have the same estate that the Presleys have, right? But we can do and take the necessary steps to protect what we do have and make sure it gets passed along and our wishes are met as we like. So the goal of today's episode is to really point out some of the things that went wrong, let Ted kind of clear up where the issues are, you know, why these are problems, and what someone can do to make sure their estate's buttoned up. So I'm going to start off with some facts, Ted, to catch you up and catch listeners up for those that don't know, because Lisa Marie Presley died a little over a year ago from us recording this, January 12th, 2023. She was only 54 years old. For those that don't know, she was the only child of Elvis Presley, and she left behind her mother, Priscilla, who I think a lot of people are aware of, and her daughter, Riley. And Lisa also had a son, Benjamin, who passed away a couple of years ago. So very tragic and just sad in general with the family in recent years. But with this news, though, really the headlines have been all around Lisa's mother, Priscilla, who's challenging some of the changes that were made to Lisa's estate plan. So that's a little bit of the background. And again, this is not that uncommon, right, to see some challenges to an estate?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when there are changes that are made very near to the person's death. Without any kind of notice to anyone, not unusual to see challenges to this, especially when there's, you know, significant sums of money involved. And my understanding is in this particular estate, we're talking about an estate of about $100 million, or that, you know, that had been inherited at some point. So it's not surprising to see that.
All right. So I'm going to take you through the timeline as well here. So once we get through the timeline, you have a better picture of what's going on, and then we'll work through some of the issues based on what has been reported in the news. So first off, Lisa inherited, as you mentioned, about $100 million from her father, Elvis. Now, this was back in 1993 when she was 25 years old. And at the time, too, the estate was valued at only about $5 million at Elvis's death. Now, obviously, a lot of that increase is based on the IP accredited to Elvis in the death itself. So that's the estate itself. So from there, Lisa created this revocable trust, living trust, known as the Promenade Trust. This was back in 1993 when this inheritance happened. And it was there to manage the Presley estate. Now, Elvis's intellectual property makes up the majority of these assets, and Lisa named herself as the trustee of the trust, which left her in full control. All that seemed pretty normal so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to kind of plan your estate, make sure that there aren't any probate issues when you pass away, but also continue to maintain control of your assets. And so, yeah, that's definitely a, a good way to go about making sure you have a solid estate plan.
All right. So that brings us to 2010. Now, Lisa restated the trust where the entire document was amended or rewritten. And part of these changes included adding her mother, Priscilla, and then also her former business manager, who was Barry Siegel, added them as co-trustees to Lisa's trust. Now, this is where things get a little bit murky. So a document was found after Lisa passed away that appears to be an additional amendment to this trust. And this one was dated in 2016, so 6 years after that was restated. The amendment removed Priscilla and Barry Siegel as co-trustees to Lisa's trust and instead added her children, Riley and the late Benjamin, as co-trustees. Again, the latest update. Now, Priscilla has filed a lawsuit disputing the validity of the 2016 amendment that removed her as the co-trustee of the trust. So this is where things, again, this is where all the news has happened and where a lot of the arguments are. So just based on what we know so far, Ted, anything that stands out to you?
Right. So, you know, when a person has a trust that's amendable, and I'm assuming in this instance it was probably some form of revocable living trust or, you know, perhaps a pure grantor trust. But in either scenario, you know, there are amendments that are allowable. And when a person, you know, makes those amendments, they have to do those amendments in compliance with local law, right? So if you're in a state like New York, for example, it needs to be, you know, executed, acknowledged in the form of a deed, and made part of your existing trust, referencing the paragraphs and clauses that are being changed. So that's the way proper amendment would take place and be included as part of the trust package.
Okay. So these are some of the accusations that have been made and some of the issues that have been brought up as to why Priscilla is fighting this. So the amendment was never delivered to the co-trustees, again, Priscilla and Barry, and they were never notified that the trust had been amended in 2016 and that they had been removed. And the trust document required all these trustees to be notified if changes were being made. So how big of an issue is that?
Yeah. So that can be a significant issue, right? Because the trust is your rule book. Okay. So when you draw up your trust, you basically set forth the rules under which the trust operates, subject to obviously to local law. So if you've got rules that require delivery of amendments to the trustees and under particular circumstances and what circumstances those are, then failing to comply with those rules raises significant question as to whether the amendment that you're making is actually validly executed or whether it was actually something you did in ordinary course. So certainly it does raise questions to the validity of the purported amendment in 2016.
All right, a couple other small things about this, or maybe major things, I guess you can sort that out for us, Ted. But Priscilla's name was misspelled in the amendment, and the new amendment was never witnessed or notarized.
Yeah, and those are significant issues. The misspelling can be dealt with. It's certainly, you know, that's not necessarily a fatal defect, but it does raise question as to how this amendment was prepared, who prepared it, and then the fact that it wasn't notarized, the fact that it wasn't executed, what sounds like in an improper fashion, does raise serious doubts as to whether this amendment was actually done properly or would be effective.
Yeah, and I think that's some of the bigger issue here being raised is, you know, how legitimate is it? Because then there was also a signature on the amendment that is supposedly Lisa Marie's, but they've characterized it as atypical or suspicious and say it doesn't resemble her signatures. I'm sure as you get older, signatures change, your handwriting changes. I know I don't write as much by hand, so I'm sure my signature today doesn't match what it did 10 years ago. But again, where does this, I guess, rank on the list of issues here so far?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly up there. I mean, you know, there are certain ways that you can deal with handwriting issues and, you know, handwriting experts can come in and, you know, handwriting experts can explain the reason for variations in signatures, perhaps. The court, the trier of fact in this case, is going to have to, you know, make a determination as to whether, you know, that type of expert testimony is sufficient enough to establish whether the signature was actually Lisa Marie's or not. And certainly that's something that would have to be offered up in court by the proponents of the document.
All right. So a couple other things to point out here. They aren't really sure how much the estate is actually worth now because there was a 2018 lawsuit that Lisa Marie claimed she only had $14,000 and blamed Barry Siegel, who was one of those co-trustees that he mismanaged her finances. And then again, if that 2016 amendment is in fact deemed invalid, they will revert back to the 2010 version of the document. So how do they get this sorted out? Where does the burden of proof fall here, Ted?
So, okay. So, you know, when you present documents in court, especially when it's an estate plan or anything like that, it's presumed to be valid unless someone can demonstrate that it's not, right? So the burden of proof to prove that something is invalid is on the person challenging the particular document, provided, however, that the document is executed in the proper format. So the technical issues with regards to the execution of the document, you know, may create a different issue. But when it comes to the questions of, you know, whether Lisa Marie was in fact the person who executed this document, whether she had capacity to do so, understood what she was doing, so on and so forth, those burdens are on the people challenging the validity of that particular document.
All right. So good to know that's how this will all get settled. I want to kind of apply this now to what we're doing. If someone's listening and say, okay, well, how does this actually impact me? What can I actually take away from this other than just, you know, a story in the news about a celebrity? So Ted, just based on what we know and what you know from the case, just what are some practical lessons that we can apply?
Well, it starts first with, you know, the proper execution of documents to begin with. Okay. So you want to make sure that, you know, the estate planning attorney that you're working with, you know, is competent and knowledgeable in the area of law that they're working in, is competent and knowledgeable in the execution of the appropriate estate planning documents that you're executing, and making sure that those documents are executed properly in the appropriate format, and that, you know, those records are maintained properly. And where you're making amendments, you know, certainly, you know, it's better to consult with an estate planning attorney, preferably the same attorney, so that you can make those amendments and have those amendments executed in the proper format, so that you're not invalidating the work that you're doing in terms of the changes that you're making. It's important to, you know, communicate with your trustees, let them know what you're doing and what the outcome is going to be when and if you pass, and to let your beneficiaries know what it is exactly you're doing, especially when you're making changes to either trustees or beneficiaries or their designations. And, you know, the most important thing, and this is one of those things, because most of the times people aren't making changes, but the most important thing to do is to regularly review what it is that you've done in terms of your estate plan, so that it reflects your current circumstances, takes into account changes in your life, your health, your family, your finances, so that upon your demise, everything goes to who you want it to go to in the way and time you want it to go to them.
I guess too, the lesson also is that even if you don't feel like you have enough, or, you know, you don't have an estate like the Presleys, and you feel like, oh, I can just make some kind of quick change, it won't really affect anything, it can still have an impact. And this could also be very costly for people trying to sort it out as well too, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, they could deplete, you know, the funds of the estate just finding this out. If there's only $14,000 in the estate, I mean, my goodness. Yeah, it can be very costly and very time consuming and, you know, emotionally very draining on a family. So all of that should be taken into account. And that's why you should be vigilant.
All right. Very good. Well, I hope this kind of pointed out some things that are unique. And again, we all have issues, right? Even celebrities have issues with their estate. They have a big estate. You'd think they'd have it protected, have it buttoned up. But these things happen all the time. We read the headlines in the news and want to kind of take you through a case itself and show you kind of where things went wrong. If you have questions for Ted, we'd love to hear from you. You can call the Alatsis Law Firm at 718-233-2903 or log on alatsislawfirm.com. You can schedule a time to meet with the team there just through the website and learn more about what they do. Also, a lot of guides, tools, and resources to help you out as well for any estate planning questions you might have. So again, Ted, thanks for going through this one with us. A little bit different, but had fun kind of sorting through this newsworthy topic.
Well, in my worst Elvis Presley impersonation, thank you very much.
Very good. On that note, we will close it out. Ted, appreciate your time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.